the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, over the next three Sundays, we will look at three prophecies concerning Christ and his kingdom. Firstly, your king is coming to you. Secondly, an everlasting kingdom. And thirdly, the glorious kingdom of the Prince of Peace. We read in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. This was a heartening message delivered by Israel's prophets to an oppressed and disconsolate people. For 4,000 years, the faithful had waited for their king. Every eye was strained to see the day when the rod of the oppressor would be broken and peace and prosperity inhabit the land. In the meantime, the prophets diligently instructed the people concerning the person, the threefold office, and the kingdom of their king, that they might find comfort, joy, and salvation in his coming. Thank God, the promised king did come. We are again preparing to celebrate the anniversary of his coming. In spirit, we take our places among the believers of the Old Covenant, eager to learn what the prophets revealed concerning the Messiah and his kingdom. Today we will meditate on the ancient herald's cry, Behold, your king is coming to you. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, we look at the person of this king. Who is this king? Isaiah announces his name, Emmanuel. This is not a mere name, but a divine revelation of the mystery of his person. Emmanuel, translated into English, means God with us. This name declares not merely that God is present among his people, but that God was manifest in the flesh. Our text says, The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Likewise, you read in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And we also read in Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. According to the prophets, the Messiah was to be God-man. Firstly, the Messiah was to be true God. Our text makes this clear by giving him the name Emmanuel, God with us. The prophets are unanimous in calling him God. For example, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And in Psalm 2, verse 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, You are my son, today I have begotten you. And Psalm 110, verse 1, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. We read in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 22, verses 41 to 45, While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, The son of David. He said to them, How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. If a David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? We read in Micah chapter 5 verse 2, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. Nobody is from everlasting except God. We read in Jeremiah chapter 23 verse 6, this wonderful verse, in his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Secondly, the Messiah wants also to be true man. Our text says, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Mary had a son. The promise of a Saviour was first given in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, and I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. We read in Psalm 8, verse 5, you have made him a little lower than the angels, you have crowned him with glory and honour. There are many prophecies concerning the Messiah's birth, suffering and death. This Emmanuel is the sign of the ages. We read in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. The birth of Christ was the supreme miracle of time and eternity. It was God's great masterpiece. He is called the desire of all nations in Haggai chapter 2 verse 7. He is described as wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is the incarnation of divine love, the salvation of Israel. And in the New Testament, we read in Luke chapter 2, verses 30 to 32, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. This Emmanuel has appeared to us in the person of Jesus Christ. We read in Matthew chapter 1 verses 20 to 23, but while Joseph thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord to the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. And in Luke chapter 1, verses 31 to 33, the angel said to Mary, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Jesus Christ is true God and true man. This was clearly demonstrated during his life on earth, especially by his passion and his resurrection. The apostles taught it in unmistakable terms. The two natures of Jesus Christ are explained in Luther's Small Catechism. Jesus Christ is true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary. We know that Jesus Christ is true God because Jesus has divine names, possesses divine attributes, eternal, unchangeable, almighty, all-knowing, and present everywhere. He does divine works, which only God can do. Forgives, creates, judges, preserves. And Jesus receives divine honour and glory. We know that Jesus Christ is also true man, because the scriptures clearly call him man, and say he has a human body and soul, and speak of his human but sinless feeling and actions. The church has borne witness to this in all ages. We ourselves must believe and confess that Jesus is true God and true man if we are to be saved. We read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, that whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And in 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. So how comforting it is to know in affliction and soul struggles, especially in the hour of death, that our King is the Almighty God. We read in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 33. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. And we read in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. How comforting to know that Jesus is also a true man, who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, as we learn in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was at all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, we read, for in that Jesus himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. So the second point is, we look at the manner of his coming. The prophet introduces his announcement of the king's advent with the word, behold. This indicates the manner of his coming will be extraordinary, contrary to all expectations. Emmanuel is to appear in lowliness and deep humiliation. Instead of descending the throne of his glory in a dread robe of splendour, with an awful display of his supreme majesty, he is to be born of a human mother. He is to appear in the form of a servant. We read in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life a ransom for many. This fact of lowlihood and servanthood was stressed in the Old Testament. For example, as we heard before, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. The New Testament records the fulfillment, the birth of Jesus Christ and his lowly life. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. At Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, and Jesus said to them, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. It is a great advantage to be governed by such a king. The humble shepherds, the poor, the downtrodden in Israel were not afraid of Jesus, but gathered around him in great numbers and loved him. And we too should come boldly to his throne of grace. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And in John chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I'll by no means cast out. But although Emmanuel is to be born of a human mother, his birth is heralded as one of God's greatest miracles. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Emmanuel is to have a human mother, but no human father. Perplexed, we ask with Mary, how can this be? The answer is given together with the fulfillment in the New Testament. We read in Luke chapter 1, verses 34 and 35. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Therefore we confess that Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and also true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary. We accept the virgin birth and believe in Jesus Christ, the God-man. What is the practical value of the virgin birth? If Christ was the son of a human father and a human mother, he would be a mere man, poisoned and polluted with sin, like the rest of mankind. He could not save himself, much less others. But being the Son of God, he is without sin and possessor of all divine attributes, the perfect Saviour. We read in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, the Lord your God in your midst, the Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. So, today, behold your King. Look at your King. He is Emmanuel, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary. 20 centuries ago, he came into the world to save us. He still comes through the gospel to bestow on you the blessings which he merited by his suffering and death. Behold, your King is coming to you. He is just and having salvation. So let us close with the words of the hymnist, fling wide the portals of your heart, make it a temple set apart, from earthly use for heaven's employ, adorned with prayer and love and joy. So shall your sovereign enter in, and new and nobler life begin. To thee, O God, be praise, for word and deed and grace. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.